Obviously, we're a language school, and a lot of our students have some different requirements in terms of their IT infrastructure than you'd normally see at either a corporate environment or a federal environment. For instance, our students require access to authentic language materials to accelerate their language acquisition training. And we wanted to make sure that they had the ability to go out to foreign news broadcasts, foreign radio broadcasts, websites, blogs, wikis, that types of things. And a lot of times that stuff is blocked, that type of activity is blocked by the firewalls at a federal facility or a corporate site. Another reason is a lot of our language learning materials is video-based, and so when we have 8,000 students hitting the internet at the same time, there's a lot of bandwidth constraints around some of the MIL networks, and we wanted to open that up and actually invest in the bandwidth for the mission of the school, which is to try and accelerate the language acquisition process as much as we can.
Now, you mentioned the customer demand for this and the need for bandwidth, but doesn't this also apply that what you offer is worthy of the .edu domain in the first place?
Well, yeah, that's true. We are a school. We're an accredited university, and so our activities are much more analogous to what you'd find in the school, so it makes sense. A lot of the other higher learning institutions in the DoD have gone this way. The Naval Academy, West Point, Naval Postgraduate School, National Defense University are all now on academic networks. So it just makes sense from a IT standpoint.
So you were able to not only do the migration, but it's because of this expansion too.
That's correct. And what really helped us was we have a wonderful institution about 2 miles down the road, the Naval Postgraduate School. And back in 2004, they went to an academic network. So our path to an academic network is much easier because what we did was we leveraged a lot of the work that they had done previous and were able to capture some lessons learned, partner with them, and really share some of the cost involved with that by leveraging their expertise and leveraging their connection. So our connection out to the network now is actually the same network that Stanford and Berkeley and UCLA and UCSD all use. And so there's a ton of research that goes on those networks. And so that's how we got that access to that super high bandwidth that allows our students to collaborate and get those video feeds and audio feeds and those sorts of things.
We're speaking with John Russell, the Chief Technology Officer of the Defense Language Institute. And what about the cybersecurity implications now that all this DoD material, which is still ultimately on DoD servers, being accessed over these high-speed academic networks?
Well, I mean, we take cybersecurity very, very seriously. And again, that's where the Naval Postgraduate School comes in, because they've got a very robust cybersecurity program and obviously invested a lot in their cybersecurity infrastructure as well. And so what makes us a little bit different is our mission is so narrowly focused that we know basically what our students are doing, and it's not as broad as the general mission of the MIL network or the NIPRNet or whatever you want to call it. So protecting our students' identities and the assets of the servers, we maintain a very strict cybersecurity posture, and we also subscribe to all the DoD and Department of Army and Department of Navy regulations. We just do it in a slightly different way to allow our students the flexibility and freedom they need to basically fulfill their academic mission.
Now, you're the first to do it. You think others will follow?
That's a great question. It was never our intent. Our intent was basically to help our students and enable them to fulfill their mission. It obviously makes sense that other like institutions in the DoD would think about doing this, but that's a question that's probably above my pay grade. So right now we're just trying to do it right for us and our students, and we're happy to share and collaborate. You know, we're always talking with our academic partners in the DoD, and a lot of them are looking to see what we're doing and how successful we're going to be, and obviously sort of the canary in the coal mine, if you will. But, you know, time will tell. If we do it right and they want to follow, I'm happy to help them. But it's what makes sense to the individual institutions and the rest of the DOD.
And so far, given that earlier the academic offerings you had were only available to DOD people, what's the percentage now of outside versus the traditional inside users?
Well, we've always had a robust distance learning program, you know, for the general purpose force and the squad and the linguists out in the field, and most of our stuff is still restricted to DOD or at least government employees, but we're probably, I would say, upwards of 30,000 to 40,000. You know, external students, depending on how you define them, you know, whether they're just, you know, taking ad hoc training or actually enrolled in a distance learning course. But as far as and then a lot of our stuff now, the stuff that is public releasable is out on the internet for free for anybody to download and look at. And so that hasn't changed. And, you know, those numbers are up in the, you know, hundreds and 200,000s of hits on a monthly basis. So, you know, there's a lot of stuff out there, and this bandwidth and these this academic networks has increased our ability to do that.
So changing the domain name, you didn't lose anybody. No one got lost trying to find you. They were able to track you back down to .edu.
Oh, no, absolutely. And, you know, we at our heart, we're still a DOD network. It's just, again, just the configuration of the network is slightly different, but you know all the folks out in the general purpose forces can still find us and still download our materials just like they always have.